most of us know nothing about vitamins. What's more, what we think we know is harming both our personal nutrition and our national health. By focusing on vitamins at the expense of everything else, we've become blind to the bigger picture. Despite our belief that vitamins are an absolute good, and the more of them, the better, vitamins are actually small and surprisingly mysterious pieces of a much larger nutritional puzzle. Catherine Price is an award-winning journalist who's written for The New York Times, Popular Science, Salon, Men's Health, and many others. In Vitamania, she offers a lucid and lively journey through our cherished yet misguided beliefs about vitamins and reveals a straightforward, blessedly anxiety-free path to enjoyable eating and good health. Our executive producer, Derek Hewitt, speaks with her today.
Hello, Catherine. Thank you for joining us on The Book Report.
Thanks for having me.
In the book, you talk about how Vitamania is upon us. So should we all be taking a multivitamin every day?
Well, that's a loaded question there. But start off by saying, just to make sure we're talking about the same things, I always like to clarify what I actually mean when I say vitamin. Because most of the time when I tell people I'm writing a book about vitamins, they tend to ask me about things that aren't actually vitamins, like chondroitin supplements or omega-3 fatty acids and stuff like that. So just to lay out at the beginning, a vitamin, there's actually only 13 of them, and they are dietary chemicals that we require in small amounts and usually get from our diets that prevent a specific deficiency. And those vitamins are A, D, E, K, C, and the 8 B vitamins. And those are the ones that typically are found in a multivitamin in addition to the minerals. But that category does not include this much larger variety of dietary supplements in the American marketplace, which is like 85,000 products. But to get to your question about the multivitamin, you know, it's hard to answer that question without knowing what you eat. So I can say that there's no major health organization in the U.S. that recommends the routine use of multivitamins by otherwise healthy people. And so the question there becomes, all right, well, who's an otherwise healthy person? You know, who are the people who are not otherwise healthy? And there are specific conditions or dietary choices that might mean that you need supplementation of your diet. But in general, I think the most important question people should ask themselves is, what are you actually eating? You know, are you eating a diet of foods that naturally contain a lot of vitamins? Like, are you the type of person who is eating your kale salad daily and starting off your day with blueberries and walnuts, things like that? Then you're probably totally fine, and you're getting all sorts of other good stuff. Then are you the kind of person who, you know, wakes up in the morning with a bottle of Coke and potato chips, foods that actually don't have any vitamins that are added to them and don't have any natural vitamins either? In that case, you may need extra vitamins. I mean, I'd suggest maybe you change your diet, but you should pay attention to vitamins. And then you have this, like, huge middle category that I would say encompasses probably most Americans, where we eat the healthy fruits and vegetables sometimes, but we also eat a lot of processed and packaged foods that have synthetic man-made vitamins added to them. And if you're eating a lot of those products, like breakfast cereals or sports bars or vitamin drinks, you're probably just fine on vitamins. You may be missing out on other good things in food, but in terms of vitamins, your bases are covered.
In the book, you point out that while drugs are heavily regulated, supplements are not. How much harm has been caused by the fact that dietary supplements are not required to be tested for safety?
Yes, the dietary supplements dietary supplements are not required to be tested for safety or efficacy before they're sold in the United States. And this came about as a result of a 1994 law heavily, heavily influenced by the supplement industry, and that's been in effect ever since. In terms of what kind of danger that's posing to the American public, it is impossible to know because no one is testing these things for safety or efficacy. I mean, I can tell you that there have been scary instances where people are creating supplements that contain things in them that should not be in supplements. For example, a couple years ago, the former FDA commissioner sent a letter to dietary supplement makers saying that things had been found in some of these supplements, including stuff like anticoagulant drugs, anticonvulsants, sexual enhancement drugs like Viagra, all sorts of things that you would not, you know, illegal stimulants, things that should not be in supplements and in fact make those supplements illegal, but are being sold on the shelves. And since no one is proactively evaluating them, they can really hurt people. They can, just as one example, there's a problem with Olympic athletes or serious athletes who think that they're just taking supplements for bodybuilding or whatever, and then they test positive on drug tests, and then they can't compete. And they're completely innocent in the situation because they thought they were taking something that was legal.
We're speaking with Catherine Price on the Book Report.
You describe a very interesting transgenerational effect, suggesting that we are what our parents ate, and our children may be similarly affected too. Can you talk about how what we are eating today may affect future generations?
Sure. There's an emerging area of science known as epigenetics that's very much in its infancy. But the idea is that in addition to our genome, or our DNA, which is a set of instructions that tells our bodies how to make themselves and how to act, there's also this secondary set of instructions, epigenetics, that regulates how that script, or how our DNA's script, is actually activated. One good analogy I've heard is that your DNA is kind of the if you think about a movie, that it's the script for the movie, but epigenetics is the instructions on how it should be directed or how it should be enacted. Anyway, the interesting thing here is it's become scientists have begun to think that there are environmental things that affect your epigenetics. And by that I mean certain things that you do or are subjected to, or in the case of diet, that you eat, that might cause certain parts of your DNA to become activated or inactivated. So that itself is really interesting, to think that what you eat can actually affect the expression of your genes and cause a health problem or a health benefit.
So if your diet today can affect your children and your grandchildren, what should you have for dinner tonight?
That is a question that no one knows the precise answer to, because so much of this is unknown. You know, we don't even know how what we eat affects us, let alone how it affects our kids, let alone how it might affect our grandkids. But what I can say that, you know, the way I deal with that uncertainty is to try to hedge my bets by eating foods that I know naturally contain a lot of vitamins. And my logic there is that if they naturally contain vitamins, they naturally likely contain other beneficial compounds that we might not even know the names of, certainly you might not know the effects of, but that probably are doing good things for us. So for me, what I do is try to not freak out about how much is unknown, not try to chase down the latest headlines about vitamin D or resveratrol or lycopene or whatever else you'll find in newspapers and women's magazines, and instead just try to eat what a 1920s biochemist called a protective diet, and it's a term I love because it's basically the idea that you don't have to have all the answers. Just eat a variety of foods that you believe have some sort of protective effect. The idea of synergy is basically that if you take things in isolation, they're not going to act the same as they will if they're in their original context. And you can see this with people. You know, a person in their comfortable context in their home with their family, it's going to be very different if, for example, you pull them on stage and ask them to perform on The Voice, right? There's going to be, or if you just put them in a group of people that they've never been with before, there's all sorts of interactions that you can't necessarily predict, but that are definitely different. And the same is true for food, where, you know, a vitamin C that's isolated in a pill may not act exactly the same as vitamin C that is naturally present in an orange with all sorts of other stuff in it. And so I just think that that's an important thing for people to keep in mind as a caution, especially as the food industry and the supplement industry starts coming out with more and more of these plant chemical dietary supplements, or these whole food powders, quote unquote, or just products that attempt to isolate some of these chemicals in the same way that vitamins are isolated, so, and give it to us that way.
Sounds like a protective diet that's broadly based is your answer.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not, you know, it's not like, it's not the most exciting thing. People are like, oh, I know I should be eating more vegetables. But what I like about it is it gives it a name. It gives you kind of a fun-sounding name that allows you to identify yourself with something. Because I think Americans really love to have their identity associated with food. They want to be gluten-free. They want to be vegetarian. They want to be paleo. You know, they want to be vegan after six. So now you can say, yeah, I don't really bother with that. I just eat a protective diet.
Readers, Vitamania is a fascinating read. Surprisingly amusing, and with really deep research on the history of how we got to the stage we are now, and with some really good prescriptions on how to proceed. As Catherine was saying, the protective diet, which is so simple, may be the best way to proceed for the future. So thanks so much for joining us today, Catherine. It was really great to hear from you.
Thank you.